When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, heroes, and welcome to another exciting episode of One Shot. I'm Tracy Barnett, your host and narrator. Heroes, this is part 3 of our series of High Magic Low Lives, and I'll just say, if you were concerned that this series wasn't over the top enough, that it didn't have enough action, that it didn't have enough energy, that it didn't have just enough goofs, then you're in for a treat, and you should really just sit back, relax, and get ready to enjoy this show. Yep, give me just one second. Let me make sure the location is shattered. Medical attention, let's assume you can do that.
What is happening?
So here's how...
Swing big, baby.
There's actually a rule in this game for losing limbs and having prosthetics attached. So given that you are in a bike shop and given that there are gears and things of all kinds, I'm going to assume that Shinglefort has the ability to staunch the bleeding after the arm is gone. Because the melted lightning probably cauterizes it. I think a drop of it falls off the arc welder and just slices.
Yeah, I think it slices off. And and I'm like, a guttural sort of like croak comes out of my throat, and the leather sleeve like slaps to the floor, writhes a bit, tries to like crawl its way across the floor, and then like goes belly up, and I open like a flip top bin. I open a flip top bin and just like throw the limb in there, and then I sit in the bin.
hey, Grecklin, you doing okay?
What do you reach over and grab off of the wall and just jam onto where your arm was to give yourself a Delta 4 prosthetic that fills the void but does not meaningfully function?
I grab the robot bartender by the neck. Shove the robot bartender.
My beautiful bartender.
It's like I'm puppeting the robot bartender, essentially.
So... you now have a robot bartender hanging off of the left, right, what side of your body?
I think it's my right arm.
Flamingetti, no!
Hanging where your right arm used to be. It does not meaningfully function.
No, but it does hate me.
Yes. It's very angry at you. It had one purpose. It does feel Disney levels of pain. So this is very uncomfortable for it. And depending on the circumstance, you may be required to roll with disadvantage if you require the use of both arms, because all you have is a stand-in.
Right, well, technically, now I've got 3 arms now. I'm in the robot. Well, he's got 2. I've got 1. Problem
solved. Can I confirm that the robot only had the one function, and that was to mechanically clean a glass?
Cleaning a glass. That's all it did.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, so if you can line that function up with what it is that you're doing, you're going to be fine. If not, you're going to be rolling with disadvantage.
Oh, no. I'm going to be cleaning a glass for a reason.
We will then take this and we will cut back to Peregrine and Slardigan as you have been haggling back and forth as to what this engine is worth. Eshtri, and that's my final offer. You know when he says final offer that it's never his final offer.
Okay, can you repeat what was it that he said? 3?
3?
3.
3, as in the number, 3.
Maeve was like, free? Free. No, you have to pay me.
3. 2 quarters. What are we doing?
I'm so embarrassed about my attempt at an accent. I said 3.
No, it's fine. No, because I thought you said 3, but I wasn't 100% sure what... because I know bartering is the main way things are not... So I thought we were going to go into bartering as opposed to... So that's
we are.
So I'm
hoping that my fellow improviser will pick up the ball and decide
no,
what free of is.
No, you've heard of less no. and here's no okay, boss.
I'm gonna take no, up no, no. take my ball and go.
No, 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 no. I beg your pardon.
The ball's gone over the fence. There's nothing fine. We can do with it now.
Okay.
Oh, it's gone into old Lady Weather's yard. Can't go there.
Oh, boss, Lardigan. Here's the thing. I'm just not sure if I'm in a position to deliver you that many nocturnal garments at this moment in time. Is there anything else that you might possibly want? In fact, do you know what, Lardigan? You seem like someone who is stressed. A lot of the time. You know, I mean, and look...
It's not an easy life,
It's not an easy life. And look, the artwork, it's beautiful. But that is the work of an obsessed mind. Don't you ever just want to relax, you know, kick back? Could I interest you in, say, a little bit of the green, as it were?
A little bit of the green. I'll tell you what, two nightgowns and a bottle of absinthe, and we'll call it good.
Absinthe. Okay.
You know what they say? Absinthe makes the heart grow fonder.
You're a wordsmith, and I've always said that about you. Right. When exactly would you require these items?
I know you're good for it. I'd give you a week.
Okay. Okay, we need to jump into Peregrine's head right now, because the future doesn't exist to Peregrine. Peregrine's like, I was under the impression I had to give you something before you would give me the engine. I'm like, I'll get you 17 night dresses next week, sure. So this is a case of, if he's going to give us the engine now, what's the ultimately we're going to score big time on this score. This doesn't seem to be a bit of a difficulty for me at all. So yeah, absolutely. You know what, Flardigan? You twisted my arm. Two night dresses and a bottle of absinthe next week. No problem. I'll be taking the engine.
Go ahead and make your roll.
What am I rolling?
It seems like you're using charisma. Is that accurate to your approach?
Honestly, yeah. That's probably it. Okay. All right. Let me see what else is going on here. Yeah, that seems to be the most accurate one, really.
2d6 plus charisma.
Perfect. I just cannot overstate the extent to which I was all like, how are we going to get a bottle of absinthe? And then you were like, you're good for it. Amazing. I'll be off.
Are you stressed? Do you ever want to chill out? I thought you were going to be like, can I offer you a lobotomy? Like, that was just like the tone that you were hitting.
I thought you were going to be like, here's a spider in a glass ball.
There's
a lobotomy in a bottle, please.
I just realized that you have a brick of
weed. I have a brick of weed. I literally knew that.
Tracy, you're so innocent. You're like, I do want to relax sometimes. Do you have a pillow?
I fully have a brick of weed. That's my whole thing was all like, we have to do something now. That's what I was operating on the basis on. Now I'm like, next week. Oh, baby. All right. Sorry, I beg your pardon. Right. So let's see. Oh, I have a feeling it's going to be bad. Oh, okay. 8 plus 10.
10.
Nice. Good job. Nice.
Fantastic. He reaches out and he shakes on it.
This engine's going to be shit, I bet. One, yeah.
It's a difficult proposition for me, but Betsy is yours.
Thank you.
And he steps to the side, and the engine is sitting on like a cart.
Oh.
You have to manually pull it back to.
Well, here's the thing. The other thing was that we were going to have to carry an engine, and these noodly arms, I mean, you know, I've got the sort of the lithe countenance of a romantic poet, not, you know, lifting simply wasn't going to work. So are there wheels on this carty thingy-ma-jig?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it has wheels.
You can probably make this work. Talia, how are you feeling about moving this?
With, like, my hands?
I'm open to.
I think that's a perfect cut point. to go back to the shop. What do the two of you look like when you drag Betsy into the bike repair shop?
The other heel has broken off of the remaining shoe of Talia's, so now that's the lower shoe. But she is still uneven.
Hey, can I just check in? Hey, Reese, as your friend, is it cool if they like cut in and we're just like furiously making out?
But it's like
it's helmet it's to helmet well helmet
face and yeah. and Flamengetti with the bartender.
The bartender and the bird
with
yeah.
Dave.
Yeah, thank you.
It's right. Technically a foursome, but not.
Yeah, it's like that, but not. I'm cool with it if you are.
Thanks.
Great.
Bring it.
So I think that at first Talia doesn't notice this because she's busy explaining. So like I think I have like a new song, Peregrine. It goes like da 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 da, just a bunch of junk. Da 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 da, buds, holy shit, it's buds. Da 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 da, just a bunch of. And it's just like that for like 15 minutes. Do you think that's like too self-indulgent, or?
I honestly think you could go bigger with it. Really, I think you know.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and in fact, there's not enough reference to yourself in it, and you, as a. That's my approach to anything, really. Just. Think about yourself more and how you factor in it. And
nothing happens.
Jesus.
Nothing.
Is that why?
There's nothing going on.
Yeah. What is?
We fixed the
nothing's
bike.
What's going on?
There's nothing.
Made a bike.
Is that why?
Have you seen the bike? Wanted... That's the bike over there. It's all good.
I lost my arm.
She's got a bartender now. Bartender on an arm now. That's what we do.
Yeah. Hi.
Welcome.
Yeah. Hi.
Anyway, nice. I'll What's take that off your hands.
What's that?
pick up just, the engine
sorry,
and, like,
just a second. I just I have a just I okay. So forget. Okay, lock it away with the porpoise photos. Okay, it's gone. Okay.
what we are got, we talking about?
I've got a crick in my neck now. I don't know why.
Okay, there's an engine. You people do things with your hands and build.
Can you people.
Yes, that's what I said. You people. As in, we are these people here and you are those people there. Can you do anything with this engine?
What? Oh, it's an engine.
I've already strapped it on.
Oh, okay. Great.
I've already bolted that shit in.
When you say... Never mind.
Hey, Michelle, that's you two. That's your thing. I have a robot butler.
I have realized one other thing, which I think Peregrine probably somehow was riding on the cart as well by the time Talia dragged it in.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And Talia had not noticed.
Yeah.
I was very tired. What? I'm very tired. I'm just tired today, you know?
Yeah. Does anyone else's mouth taste like melted lightning? It's weird.
No, mine tastes like I did work today, and I need to lie down, so...
I mean, I think there's probably a bed in the bike.
Talia climbs up onto, like, the bit that what used to be a bar before the robot bartender was ripped out, and just goes to sleep. Immediately.
Oh, wow. Cool. I very much admire that in person.
So the net result of all of that is you have a plus one to your role to take this bike down the sick ramp.
Woo-hoo! Four people's worth of rolls to get a plus one!
The scene transitions to the night of the party, which, as we all know, is called the Super Soup Fest.
On the Pennyweather!
On the good ship Pennyweather. The aristocracy insists that it be referred to by its full name, which of course they do.
And out of spite, every now and then Shinglefoot will refer to it as the GSP.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
There's nothing that the aristocracy hates more than an acronym.
They hate acronyms.
None of them will scuba.
None of them.
You all, not a one of them. They have to spell it out the entire, or say all the words the entire time. We all know what scuba stands for, so we're going to move on.
Excellent.
go on, Tracy, just in case the listener didn't know. Give us your best wang at it.
No. You are crouched in an alleyway. Sort of on the approach to this ramp, because obviously the aristocracy wants to have protections in place, and me as the GM wants to showcase all the parts of how this system works. So there are guards in front of this ramp that is going to be used to propel you out to the good ship Pennyweather. Now, these guards look like they are moderately capable folks. There are three of them. They each have long, like, imagine a cop's nightstick, right? But size it up and make it, like, thicker at the end. A very short baseball bat is kind of the vibe.
We were all thinking of baseball bats.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We weren't thinking about the Velvet Cocks at all. Anyway, so they all have sizable nightsticks. They are wearing some type of body armor, and it looks like they all have like alert whistles around their necks. And they're just sort of like, there's kind of a patrol that's happening. So there's a pair of them standing in front of the ramp, and then there's one that sort of walks around the perimeter of the area out and around this ramp. And they do that for about 10 minutes, and then they shuffle over. So a slide, and then the one who's on the outside takes the perimeter walk, and they keep doing that loop. You've been watching them do this for a full cycle, so about half an hour or so, just to get everything sorted out as to what the situation is. How do you wish to approach this?
Oh my god, are we gonna like go do soup or whatever soon? This is so boring.
At that, I would like to take my bottle of liquid smoke, mm-hmm. throw it up in the air, and then use the robot bartender to just like fucking smash it, and then cause essentially a fog for us to pedal through, giving us the element of surprise.
Okay. All right, so I'm taking a look at Grequin. The liquid smoke is a d6, so you get to roll that d6. You get to roll two of them, though, and take the worse of the two because the robot bartender is not necessarily a functioning piece. You are attempting to essentially swing your entire torso to move the body rather than rotating the arm.
A one do?
A one will do something. That's for sure.
Cool beans. Is it that it's actually like a bottle of liquid smoke, the sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the stuff you put to make fake bacon.
Yeah, it's a fake bacon sauce.
I think it's partially that. Also, this is a magical universe. So you toss it up, you swing, and you hear the bottle shatter. And then you smell that fake bacon smell, and the liquid smoke begins to fill up the area directly around all of you, and you begin inhaling liquid smoke.
I feel good about this choice.
The guards are definitely alerted, and you can hear, because you can't really see much of anything right now, you hear footsteps coming towards you. So the way that conflicts work in this system is that we have the setup now. We sort of know the stakes. You need to get past the guards to go down the ramp. Grequin has taken the first action. You all get to act before the opposition goes. If you deal them physical damage, they have a number of hit dice that I have over here. And so you know for transparency, it's 3d6s. If you do 6 damage to them, it takes a die away, and it goes to something called their morale pool. The more of them that you take away, if you get rid of all of them, you have incapacitated or killed all three. But the more morale dice that they have, the worse their results are on the morale table that I roll for them to see what they do in response after you've all acted. Okay. So, Grequin is gone. Who wishes to act next, and what do you wish to do?
I would love to cast a spell.
Mm-hmm.
My domain is Riot Girl.
So good.
I want to call on my patron, who is the spirit of discordant noise, and just really make a lot of loud, horrible, clashing noises in their ears to hopefully cause them auditory damage and also disorientate them.
Okay, fantastic. So you need to roll 2d6 plus charisma. Okay. If you succeed, you will be rolling your magic die to determine how much damage you do to them.
Okay, which is a d6. Okay.
Yeah.
So I roll 2d6. Oh, come on. Oh, 1 out of 5, 6, and my charisma is 2? 8.
Yeah, so +8. Okay, so you do succeed, but at a cost. So okay. Go ahead and roll the d6 to see how much damage is done.
This one's going in jail. That's a 1 again.
Oh.
That one's rolled a 1 3 times.
Oh, no!
Well, it's
boo.
It's not the worst thing in the world. You deal 1 point of damage to each of the guards, because this is extremely loud. The bad part is, it's extremely loud. Each of you take 1 point of damage.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Fair enough.
Because you did not project this out far enough. It's just sort of this cacophony in the smoke that's all around you. So your magic points go from 3 to 2. And then for everybody else, if you used a magic point before, it's restored again, and your phones are all at delta 8, because you've had time to charge them up. So who would like to go next, Peregrine or Shingleford?
I'll go next. I'm actually going to save my one magic point this time. So I'm going to actually just go ham with a bat with a nail through it, which is my weapon of choice. But Peregrine is also strapped up with, well, it's the inventory descriptor is most of a suit of armor. But honestly, I think if Peregrine was to put on most of a suit of armor, she probably couldn't move around. So I think it is maybe just an arm and a chest plate. And she's going to go ham at these guards.
Okay, so there's one approaching you. You cannot easily see the guard because of all of the smoke. So you're going to be rolling this at disadvantage.
Okie doke.
So a bat with a nail through it sounds like a pretty strength-based kind of thing. So it's 2d6 plus strength. It's actually 3d6, but you're going to take the worst 2 of the d6.
Okay. Let's see now. So the worst 2. Okay.
Uh-huh.
The worst 2, that's a 2 and a 3. And then I have a zero strength. So bad.
I'm looking at Peregrine, and Peregrine has a 2 strength.
Oh. Oh, sorry. One second. Oh, yeah, sorry. I think that was my... Did I use anything else before that? No, yeah, okay, we'll stick with that. Sorry, I actually did the same thing Michelle did with her amendments, but I must have not looked at that when we were filling in the forms. But that's fine, we can stick with that.
Gotcha. Okay, well, I mean, you have an oddly buff noble.
Yeah, so. Which is wild, because I was Peregrine's noodle to be looking at her. But perfect.
Go ahead and roll your martial die. That's a d6 to see how much damage you do to this one guard.
Okie doke. 4.
A 4. Wow. All right. So you take this guard almost... and actually, because it has a nail through it, I'm going to say that it does 1 extra point of damage. So that's enough to take one guard out. However... you did get a mixed success. So you hit the guard really hard.
I think the nail gets stuck.
And you feel the nail catch, and you feel it get absolutely stuck in his head.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, I put my boots. Get up!
Yeah, so you'll have to take an action to free your bat or leave it behind.
Gotta free that bat. That would be my next action.
Hello, heroes. We're just going to keep this mid-roll short and sweet this week. We unfortunately have COVID in our house currently, so I am running behind on just about everything. And yeah, that being the case, I don't want to keep you all here any longer, so we're going to get right back to the show. Enjoy! So, Shingleford.
I'm going to take a bullet that has fit in no gun that you can find and wield it, because it is incredibly long. Like, it's ridiculously long. Like, it's like a yardstick.
How long this...
Like, it can't fit in any friggin' gun because it's just massive. And just whip it around at the nearest guard.
Okay, so they've approached a little bit closer. This is still going to be... at disadvantage because of all of the smoke.
I help.
Because you still can't see anything.
Mm-hmm. So that's 3d6.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what we got here. Let's see what we got. Oh, shit. That's fine. That's totally fine. That's totally fine. I got a 6, a 6, and a 1.
Oh, so you got a 7.
So that is a 7. Is that what stat am I using?
Plus,
is that strength?
It sounds like strength to me if you're just waving it around.
Well, it, yeah, just waving it around. So that'll be, so that's an 8 in total. And I, like, Shinglefoot is even surprised at himself for doing this. Like, it almost, you see his hand just kind of like slip into a jacket and just pull out this thing. And he's very shocked that he even still has this and is waving it around.
What is the consequence for, well, actually, one, roll your damage, which your
martial die,
it's limited by your martial die, so it's going to be a d6.
D6. That's a 4.
A 4. Okay. So what is the consequence that happens? Because you rolled a success with a problem.
I think...
Go on. You know you want to.
Yeah, so as it's flailing around in the smoke and everything else, it knocks Dave off.
Oh,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
It knocks Dave off of Shingleford's shoulder, and he just kind of slumps down to the side and just comes back and is like, I am so, so sorry. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
Peregrine looks up from where she's trying to pull a nail out of a dead body's skull like, what?
Something's happened. I'm not sure what's going on.
All right. So you hear him say that, and it is now the bad guy's turn. I'm going to roll the die that is in the morale pool. That is a 3. Somebody panics. I re-roll the highest hit die. So you hear one of the guards just begin screaming in terror. You also hear a very loud flapping of wings. You're not sure what that's all about. But now there are only, the 2 guards are left. There's only a 1 and a 2 on their hit dice. So it's now y'all's turn to act again. And you don't have to go in the same order or anything. The smoke is beginning to clear a little bit because you are by a cliff, so the breeze is pretty intense.
Oh my god, Shinglefoot, I think you dropped your bird. Here you go. And I like grab Dave and just like shove him.
Oh no.
Well, you go to grab Dave. And you realize that Dave is flying around that other guard that's out there. That's what the guard is screaming about.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, in that case, I did not do that.
Okay. Grecklin walks up to Shingleford. And he's like,
what's going on?
You're doing a ratatouille. Doing a ratatouille. And he flips open the visor of his helmet. And there's a little guy in there. And he pulls off the arm. And just like hundreds of birds come out of the suit. And the suit slowly deflates.
What's a ratatouille? I don't know what's going on. It was just, there was the bird and I don't know what's going on.
Okay, so the massive wave of birds, the one guard who had been hit by the bullet, sort of being waved around, only had 1 point left on his hit die and like stumbles and staggers and falls off the cliff. The other one sort of just stops moving as you see Dave alight on his shoulder. And strides with purpose over to you all and says, right, get on. and thumbs toward the bike.
Peregrine is still holding the baseball bat, which is still lodged in the skull of the dead body, and she's standing on the chest and just has frozen in the act of trying to pull the nail free, and is just staring at Shingleford, staring at Grecklin, and now staring at this new bird who speaks in a similar cadence as the previous Shingleford once did, and then looks over at Talia and goes, hey, what's happening?
Peregrine, I just realized your name. Are you a fucking bird as well?
Talia, I don't know if you've noticed this, but a lot of our culture is very heavily bird-based. And in fact, I'm beginning to suspect a lot of the people here are very bird-based also. Can I ask, is Grecklin just gone?
No, Grecklin is a tiny man who lives in the helmet.
Okay.
And the body is made of birds.
Okay, Peregrine stands up. Okay, fuck the ladle. We're going nowhere until can I just check this out? Is this a yin-yang situation? We had Dave the bird piloting a human, and now we've got a tiny human piloting a bunch of birds. And now, can I ask, when you both started kissing, were you aware of that? Like, it seems like an extremely yin-yang situation, or is this the first? Because it seems like very soulmates.
Honestly, I'm not entirely sure what's going on. My name is Dick Sissel. I'm like, genuinely...
Dick, I'm gonna need you to... You cannot add any information to this scenario.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's fine.
Dick, we do not have time.
All right.
Yeah, actually...
We don't have time.
Okay.
The loud one's right.
Extra hand.
I whistle and tear open with the... I use my little hands to pull open the collar of the motorcycle jacket, and I whistle, and hundreds of birds fly into the motorcycle jacket as I slowly shuffle back into a man-sized shape and get on.
I am having a stroke.
The bike.
I am having a brain hemorrhage.
I can taste gloves
and I can smell toast.
See,
honestly,
I can smell.
I have met
smoke.
Weirder people on Glitter. Let's just do the fucking soup.
Heist back on.
Yeah, I grab Dick, Dave.
You come too.
And put him back on Dick where he belongs.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Peregrine, Maeve, you should do that. That was your idea.
What? Put the Dave back on?
Yeah, it was Talia.
No, it was Talia.
Oh, sorry, Talia. Talia, you should be doing
that. Talia, you said let's do the fucking soup and then...
Yeah,
let's do the fucking soup. Come on. We haven't got time for this, Dick. And I grab Dave, I slap him back on Dick / Shingleford's shoulder. I swing round and I just punch the remaining guard, who's probably a bit disoriented, round right in the nose, and go, let's go!
Yep, absolutely. Lay him out flat and we do a smash cut. To all of you on the bike with the engine at the top of the ramp, the cliff is 300 to 400 feet tall. Sheer drop straight down.
So hang on, whoa, no, actually before we
hang on.
I'm getting there.
The top of the ramp starts at the edge of the cliff. You go down the cliff face. And out into the void and swoop up. This is usually it's for delivering mundane cargo. They've got like catch nets on the boat on the other side. But you are going to the wheels of this bike, bar bike thing now with an engine strapped to it, have been sized to fit into the track on the ramp.
A Peregrine turns around and says, I'm very committed to this plan, and it's the only one that we have, so we're still doing it, but I just want to put a pin in the fact that the two people who are perfectly happy to proceed without an engine have wings on board. Y'all motherfucker have wings! Could fly if this failed!
I said 50%!
Unbelievable. Yeah,
I'm kind of invested in making sure everyone survives this.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave.
Because, Talia, I know this might not be the moment to bring it up, but you do owe me quite a bit of money. I'm putting this out here now.
I think that
Grequin hits the engine at that exact moment.
Amazing. I'd also like to point out that Tracy had no idea that we were doing a ratatouille.
The double ratatouille. I'm such a fan. The rarely attempted.
I figured out the Shackleford ratatouille. Like that one, yes. There were tells for that one.
Oh, yeah.
There were not tells for Grequin. Save.
I told you my arm was wiggling around all by itself.
That's true, you did.
I thought maybe a robot situation, because we have robots in the gym, but like that was just...
You should have guessed by the fact that we're going to get a soup spoon.
Naomi is the queen of foreshadowing. We've all listened to Kilda.
Yeah,
that's true.
The clues were there.
The clues were there. I was too close to it to see.
We've all been there.
Yeah. I missed the forest for the trees.
Let's talk about Neathi sometime.
I still think about being like, hey Mick, did you tell Michelle she's playing a villain? And he was like, no, not yet.
I'm just reading it like, oh, this like cute, quirky best friend character. Oh, she's kind of weird. I like that she had. Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh, yeah. No. Oh no! The clues. They were there. They were there.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Anyway, enough about the amazing, amazing audio drama that we were all a part of.
Shameless plug.
It's Secret of St. Kilda. You should go listen to it. I have a very, very important question. Who is going to be responsible for the die roll?
Oh, me.
Of the...
Because I've got the worst. I've got the worst dice of the lot.
Oh my god. Mine, I put my one die in jail.
Do you want Michelle, would you like to take
mediocre
it?
Mediocre across the board.
Because no, I no, will no, kill us. I trust just you. So that we're cool.
No, I trust you.
Good. This I'm leaves the other three of you available to take actions to try and salvage the situation if it goes south.
If.
Cool.
Okay.
You can use your magic domains however you see fit. You can use your gear, all that good stuff. What it means is that Grecklin is effectively the one steering this. And so, Naomi, you will not be able to have any extra response if this goes tits up.
I'm okay with that.
Hit it.
2d6?
You get to add plus 1. 2d6 plus 1.
So the first roll's a 2.
Oh, fuck me.
And the second roll's a 1.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
All right. So that's this a is a 4. Failure. What this is going to mean is that absolutely, yes. Thank you.
I think that we should just explode. I think that's okay. I did a ratatouille. Reese and I are very satisfied.
My art's complete.
In fact, Grecklin actually rides Dave away into the night sky and they go to fight on.
And they live happily ever after.
Well, screwing over the two people who were the ones who were actually worried about the bike's ability to do this.
So, what I will say is that mechanically, you are within the range of things that can happen to have you get over to the ship with a complication. Because the way I'm going to do this is the remaining three of you can each take an action to try and salvage this situation. Much like we did the lead up to this. If you succeed, you're going to add one to the previous die roll. But that means that all three of you need to at least get a success at a cost on your action. If not, I'm going to let this resolve and you are going to fall a long, long way very likely an explosion.
Okay.
So,
amazing.
So,
what does everyone wish to do?
Shingleford is going to hit the button. There is the button that is
the
linked.
One he was very giggling about, yep.
That he was giggling about the entire time. And as things start to go down, you see this hand just almost of its own volition just slam straight down onto a weird point on the bar that doesn't look like it fits exactly, but it hits there, and just this fucking jet of glitter boosts out from underneath and just gives that little bit of an extra boost to push us a little bit closer.
So a 7 to 9 result, and this seems like intelligence because you would rig this previously. A 7 to 9 result will add 1. 10 plus will add 2. 12 plus will add 3. A failure no will take away from it, by the way.
Cool, 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 cool. No problem. No do. No. Oh, 9.
Excellent. You slam it down. The glitter explodes out. The entire thing bucks up in the air a little bit more, and your trajectory is now accurate. But the systems of compressed air that had all the glitter ready to go, something backfires and the button itself explodes up onto your hand, and you don't lose it or anything, but it fries the nerve endings in such a way that Dave can no longer control Shingleford's left hand.
Jeez.
So Dick is now in charge of the left hand.
Oh no, that's worse. Okay.
Squeeze him.
What's going on here?
For those of you at home, Reese is now operating one hand in a Muppet sort of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And Shingleford appears to be speaking through said hand.
And I really like the idea, the conceit of this, that because the hand is shaped like a puppet, it can both talk and see.
Oh, yeah.
I like this very much.
It's Muppet rule.
Yeah. Excellent. Peregrine, Talia, what do each of you wish to try to do? You have... you're at a 5 now.
I want to, if you'll let me do this, I want to have been live streaming from when we started the jump to my followers.
Okay.
And I want to do a call to action. I want to have been like, yo, all of you bitches, I know you're watching. If you want to come help us fly over this sick jump, come help us fly over the sick jump. Like, use your, like, whatever you have. You're probably, like, rich, huh? You got gliders? Come on, let's fucking do it.
Okay. So let me get the phone rules up in front of me real quick. Call to action. Describe a problem you're having and roll plus brand. So you go live right now is essentially okay. What it is. So you get to roll plus one because your brand is plus one. I am going to give you advantage on this because you are live streaming a sick jump.
Yes.
Okay. I'd watch that. Yeah.
So go ahead.
So I roll three.
Yeah, you roll three, add one to the result, and take the best dice.
Okay.
Hey, guys. So we're, like, plummeting to our death.
Hey, bitches. You wanted something sweet, we got something bitter. We got 2 fives plus one.
Oh.
11.
Oh, 11. So, yeah.
Under call to action on page 93, you get to choose three of these options.
Okay.
You gain useful insight into your situation.
We're
you gain useless. You gain useless but fascinating trivia about your situation.
Still so
you gain 1d6 coin in donations. Someone in the immortal aristocracy ends up looking like a real asshole, or you lose a notable follower.
So I get those, to pick three. I get three to pick of three them. Of those.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. I want to learn something useful, something useless, and I want to make someone in the aristocracy look like a dumbass.
Okay. So you, the aristocracy thing is that someone in Peregrine's family was responsible for making sure that the ramp was protected tonight. And yeah. They were so, it's like a younger member, and they were so trying to prove themselves so hard in this situation that they were actually on guard duty. So your followers are sending you pictures of the guard that you punched in the face.
Oh my God, that's my cousin Rodley. He's a dick.
Well, now he's a dick with a black eye.
What?
The useless but fascinating trivia that you learn about your situation is how far you have to fall for the surface of the ocean to be terminal velocity to actually hit like concrete. It turns out you're high enough up in the air that you will not necessarily immediately die.
Whoa.
So says this poster.
Oh my God, guys, we might not necessarily immediately die, according to Big Dong 6969.
Michelle, you're the love of my life, 10 out of 10, amazing.
The useful insight that you gain into your situation, which, because you succeeded on your role, I'm going to count as an add to the thing and have all of this go, is that the station where the bartender used to be, the bartender was powered by the pedaling. So if you all start pedaling really hard right now, then the mechanics that are in there are going to begin moving in such a way that you're going to get this weird, like the engine will point down and shoot you up, and you're going to start like almost... Don't talk to me about physics. I have no idea if this would actually do anything, but it does in this situation.
For this podcast... Tracy is
physics
doing,
are suspended.
Is doing a wibbly arm Maze. Motion
yes.
to suggest sort of like a roller coaster esque form of
yes, but going up the hill.
Yes,
right, like porpoising in Formula One.
That's a
reference from all my straight friends out there.
I have to say this is so narratively appropriate considering how much complaining we did about having to pedal.
Yeah. Peregrine, babe.
Yes,
babe. Mm-hmm. I know what you're gonna say, but like, I think we should probably start pedaling now.
I would rather die.
Peregrine, babe. Look, I'm gonna do it, even though I'm still in these shoes and I'm still wearing the ones that Peregrine ruined because you know I've kind of into it now. And like, it's really uncomfortable, but I don't want to. Die.
Okay, all right. If you can do it in your uncomfortable shoes, I think I can bring myself to all as well.
Oh my God, you're so talented.
I know.
Peregrine.
Oh God.
This all comes down to you.
Do we still have to do something? Okay.
You still have to, you still have to roll
the dice. I just have nothing so, to do. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you can pedal.
Yeah, I can pedal. Yeah, actually, to be honest, I think that's it. This is my character arc. This is my character development. This is the moment, you know, when the, you know, the, what is it? The pedal meets the metal.
Except it's my foot
meeting the pedal. And this is it. So I do it. I get on it and I start pedaling. So, is it how many D6?
Well, because this is such a moment of narrative apotheosis for Peregrine, I'm going to let you roll with advantage.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And you get to roll plus constitution because this is endurance.
Okay. Amazing. Is that two die?
Three.
It is three dice. Take the best two and add one to the result.
Okay, that is a 11 plus 1 is 12. Is that enough?
Hey!
Okay.
So that adds 2. It does not take the final result of this out of success at a cost, but you all land. This whole thing lands in the cargo catch net that is there. There's a massive crash. The part of the cost is that this bike is host. It is gone. It is done. You all get sort of flung clear because the holes in the netting are pretty large. They're designed to catch big crates. So you all kind of slip through and go tumbling to the deck below. The other cost is that each of you have a whole bunch of items in your inventory. You each lose one of them.
Oh.
This episode of One Shot uses music from the following artists. Maxed Out by Desert Drive. This episode of One Shot was edited and sound designed by Tracy Barnett. You can find more of their work online anywhere at The Other Tracy. Well, that's it for One Shot this week, but do not worry, we will be back next week with the finale of High Magical Low Lives.
Welcome to Character Creation Cast, a show where we create and discuss characters, the best part of role-playing games, with guests using their favorite systems. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Bolter.
And I'm your other host, Amelia Antrim. Join us as we sit down with game designers, podcasters, and fans of games as we dive into learning about different RPGs through the lens of character creation. It's a combination of character building, player advice, game design insights, and even a little bit of fan fiction for a different game every month. We tackle a variety of new and old games, both well-known and indie-produced titles.
We learn how creating characters can tell us a lot about the games themselves. Check us out today anywhere you can get podcasts or on the One Shot Podcast Network at oneshotpodcast.com.
As usual, we will end One Shot with a call to action. And heroes, this is a two-parter this week. The first, as I mentioned in the mid-roll, we have COVID in our house, and it is very unfortunate. We are, however, lucky that all of us, including my very young 15-month-old daughter, are vaccinated. My wife and I are boosted. So, fortunately, the people who have it are not as sick as they could be. That's wonderful. I will please encourage you to keep masking in public spaces. I will encourage you to please go get your booster if you have not done so already. The bivalent booster is a huge help. No, obviously, as evidenced by my own situation, it does not prevent you from getting COVID. However, it does make it less severe. This is probably something we're going to have to keep doing for a long time because it looks like this disease is not going away anytime soon. So that's the first thing. Masks, vaccinations, please, thank you. Next, very soon, I believe it is 2 weeks from tomorrow in the U.S. here, we are having our midterm elections, and boy, turnout for these elections needs to be high, 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 high. There is a chance, there are multiple chances, that Democrats could maybe gain a majority in the Senate and could hold on to the House, and that would really, really be helpful, because if Republicans gain majorities in the House and the Senate, everything is just going to grind to a halt governmentally, not to mention the fact that some really, really heinous legislation is going to get pushed through. So please, if you are able to, in the state that you live in, check that you're registered. Go make sure you get registered to vote. Early vote if you can. Vote by mail if you're able to. And above all, get your ballot cast by November 8th. November 8th is my birthday. This happens a lot to me, that people need to go vote on my birthday. So please, as a treat to me, as a treat to yourself, as a treat to everyone who lives in this country and wants things to improve, please, go vote. Thanks, heroes.
As always, a humble and hearty thanks to our supporters on Patreon. If you want to help us in a non-monetary way, the best thing you can do is tell a friend. You can also leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Every 5-star review we get helps new people find the show. For the latest One-Shot news, be sure to follow me on Twitter at OneShotRPG. Look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/OneShotPod, or look for news on the site at OneShotPodcast.com. If you want to inquire about ad rates, live appearances, commissioning episodes, or you have a general question or comment for the show, contact us at GameMaster@OneShotPodcast.com. One Shot is a production of the One Shot Podcast Network, in association with Paracosm Press. Paracosm Press is a Chicago-based tabletop games publisher. You can find more information at paracosmpress.com. Finally, that music, which is right now swelling up over my voice, is Adventure by Be Your Own Pet, courtesy of Infinity Cat Records. See you next time, heroes.